Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Ezra F. Vogel's Deng Xiaoping and the Transformation of China is a major biographical study of one of the most consequential political figures of the 20th century. Rather than treating Deng Xiaoping as a simple reformer or a mere successor to Mao, the book examines how he combined revolutionary discipline, political survival skills, and policy pragmatism to redirect the Chinese state after the Cultural Revolution. Its purpose is both biographical and historical to explain how Deng rose through repeated purges and setbacks, how he reshaped governance after 1978, and how his decisions altered China's economic trajectory and global position. Vogel writes as a historian of East Asia with a strong interest in institutions, leadership, and policy outcomes, so the book emphasizes the relationship between personal authority and systemic change. The result is a detailed account of reform, modernization, political control, and international opening that helps readers understand why Deng remains central to any serious interpretation of modern China. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Deng, as a pragmatic revolutionary who replaced ideological rigidity with policy experimentation, a central argument of the book is that Deng Xiaoping was not a liberal democrat in the Western sense, but a pragmatic communist leader who believed the party had to change course to survive. Vogel shows how Deng drew on his revolutionary background while rejecting the most destructive features of Maoist politics, especially after the Cultural Revolution. This made him unusually effective at turning abstract goals into concrete policy shifts. He did not aim to abandon one-party rule. Instead, he tried to rescue the system by loosening economic controls, restoring incentives, and allowing experimentation before committing the whole country to a single model. That combination of discipline and flexibility is one of the book's defining themes. Deng appears as a leader who could tolerate practical deviation when it served larger strategic goals, but who remained firm on political authority. This tension explains both the power and the limits of his reforms. Vogel's analysis helps readers see why Deng's legacy cannot be reduced to economic liberalization alone. The reforms were designed inside a strong authoritarian framework that Deng never intended to dismantle. Secondly, how Deng dismantled Maoist economic constraints and launched market-oriented reform. The book devotes substantial attention to the economic transformation that began under Deng's leadership after 1978. Vogel explains that China's reforms were not a sudden switch to capitalism, but a sequence of targeted changes that broke the grip of Mao-era planning. Agriculture was a key starting point because rural reform could quickly improve incentives and output without immediately threatening the entire system. From there, reforms expanded into industry, special local experiments, and wider engagement with trade and investment. Vogel presents these changes as practical responses to stagnation, not as ideological conversion. Deng understood that China's economy had fallen behind, and that modernization required more flexible institutions, stronger incentives, and greater contact with global markets. The book also stresses that reform proceeded unevenly, and often through trial and error, which makes the narrative especially useful for understanding how large-scale policy change actually happens in an authoritarian state. Deng did not design a fully coherent market system from the start. He relied on gradualism, local experimentation, and political protection for reformers. That method became one of the most important features of China's modernization path. Thirdly, political control, limits on freedom, and the unresolved contradiction at the heart of reform. Vogel does not portray Deng's reforms as politically liberal. Instead, the book repeatedly emphasizes the contradiction between economic opening and continued political restriction. Deng loosened some social and administrative controls, but he remained committed to preserving Communist Party dominance and limiting organized dissent. This tension becomes especially important in the book's treatment of 1989, when the student demonstrations and the Tiananmen crackdown exposed the boundaries of reform under Deng. Vogel's account shows that Deng viewed instability as a threat to the entire modernization project, which helps explain why he prioritized order over political pluralism. The book's value lies in its willingness to show that China's rise was built on both expansion and constraint. Economic dynamism advanced, but it did so under a system that still relied on coercive authority and severe limits on open opposition. This makes the biography more than a celebration of reform. It is also a study of how authoritarian modernization works and why it generates enduring moral and political controversy. Readers come away understanding that Deng's achievements were inseparable from the forms of control he considered necessary to protect them. Fourthly, opening China to the world through trade, diplomacy, and the language of modernization. Another major theme is Deng's international strategy, especially his determination to reconnect China with the outside world. Vogel shows that Deng saw foreign technology, education, investment, and trade as essential tools for national strength. He was not interested in opening China for cultural liberalization, He wanted exposure to external resources that could accelerate domestic development and restore China's status. The book highlights his approach to Japan, the United States, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and other external relationships as part of a broader modernization agenda. This outward turn was not simply diplomatic. It was tied to the belief that China could learn from advanced economies while maintaining its own political system. Vogel's treatment of this issue helps explain why reform-era China expanded so rapidly. Openness to the world was deliberately linked to domestic growth targets and state planning. Priorities. The book also shows how Deng tried to combine sovereignty with flexibility, especially through the one country, two systems framework. This global dimensions distinguishes the biography from narrower domestic histories because it places Deng's decisions within the larger Cold War and post-Moyen international order. Lastly, a scholarly biography built from institutional history, political context, and long-term legacy. What makes Vogel's book especially distinctive is its combination of biographical narrative and broad historical interpretation. The book does not simply recount Deng's personal life. It situates him within party politics, state institutions, military reform, foreign policy, and the long transition from Maoist rule to post-Mao development. Vogel uses this structure to explain how individual leadership can reshape a huge political system without fully escaping its inherited constraints. The biography also stands out for its balance. It is admiring of Deng's effectiveness, but not blind to his authoritarianism or the human costs of his decisions. That balance gives the book unusual analytical credibility. Readers gain a clearer sense of how policy change was negotiated inside the Chinese Communist Party, why certain reforms succeeded, and why others remained blocked. Because the book is heavily researched and organized around turning points in Deng's career, it also works as a reference for understanding modern Chinese history more generally. Its long-term value lies in helping readers connect Deng's era to the contemporary structure of Chinese power, economic growth, and political control. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded explanation of how modern China was reshaped under Deng Xiaoping. It will be especially valuable to students of Chinese history, political science, international relations, and economic development, as well as general readers who want more than a simplified hero story or a purely critical account. Vogel's main strength is his ability to connect personal biography with state transformation. Deng is shown as a leader whose political instincts, institutional maneuvering, and commitment to modernization redirected the country for decades. The book stands out from shorter or more polemical works because it combines breadth, archival depth, and interpretive balance. It explains not only what Deng did, but why his methods worked, where they failed, and how they shaped the political and economic structure of present-day China. Readers will finish with a stronger grasp of reform-era China, the logic of authoritarian modernization, and the enduring tension between growth and freedom. For anyone trying to understand the roots of China's rise, this remains one of the most important books in the field. If you would like to support Ezra F. Vogel, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.